everybody got quiet. We have Supervisor Gilmore as excused. We have a quorum. We have both of our youth and governance. Roll call is Supervisor Wambell, Bosley, Frankel, O'Day, Elmer. Rule of the minutes of the previous meeting. I'm hoping everyone received those and had a chance to look them over. If they are favorable, I'd ask for a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Wambell, second by Supervisor Bostrom. Any discussion? If not, youth and governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. The committee members, any comments, any reports on anything? Yes?
I just want to thank the Kenosha County Board and the committee for allowing myself and other youth to be able to participate in this program. This is our last meeting, and so it is, it's truly been an honor to have been able to represent Kenosha County and the youth of Kenosha County in such an environment. And I believe that this is one of the best programs Kenosha County could offer to engage the youth and allow the youth to be able to engage others in politics and the local community. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. No, this has been, I don't know how many years now.
Like they said, 10.
It could be close to 10, Mark Mahler,
around 10.
Started.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, at first it was something new, and now a lot of counties are doing it and have used us as a model. And you gentlemen both have done a great job representing your peers on this, and we wish you the best of luck in everything you do. And I'm sure this little bit of knowledge is, may pop up somewhere in your life. Anything else from any other supervisors? If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Anyone that would like to address the committee on any item that pertains to this committee would have 5 minutes to speak, and we would just ask for your name and address. Any citizens' comments? I only asked once. Citizens' comments are closed. Divisional reports. And we will start with Clement this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The division is fully engaged in getting the roads that we scheduled for paving for 2017 ready, doing covert replacement of some of them, and doing shoulder works and some ditching. Alongside with that, we are also continuing with general maintenance work, with washing, shouldering, and all the general maintenance work that we typically do, and that will continue for the rest of the summer. We are also doing some base patching on State Trunk Highway 50, by the way, because of the weather. The weather sometimes is not very so. That work is still ongoing. They've done some parts. They just do sections that they could do and make sure they get it done and get it complete. So you'll still be seeing them from time to time, weather permitting, and then you see them doing some work on Highway 50. But that's just to hold up the road. And then DOTs, I think they're looking at it right now. They've realized or acknowledged that that road really needs some serious repairs. But how far we go with that, they go with that, I cannot determine at this stage. Within other county projects, the last time we talked about the challenges we're going through with the county Trunk Highway S project, and particularly the airport, we had a meeting on the 10th of April, and with everybody, all the stakeholders were there, and most importantly, and two members from FAA were present in that meeting. And so right now, the meeting was very productive because we determined ways that we could move the project forward. And we are working on the plan. I'll be working closely with the city, FHWA and FAA, and to finalize the plan on how we can move the project forward. There are the other projects that are going on. We have the bridge reconstruction on County Trump E. Somers. At the beginning, there were some lack in proper communication, and we walked through that, and so we had some back and forth with the village and some of the residents or those who use that road. And everything has been taken care of now. We've improved on the communication, and so everybody's been kept up to speed as far as the project is concerned. County Trunk Highway W bids were opened. By the way, it's a federal and county-funded project. Bids were opened on April 11th, and the apparent low bidder is Super Western. And if you look on the report, you have the money there. The amount is about $780,000, and it came within budget, so it was good. And I just want to state again the importance of bidding this project early. For a DOT project, this is an early life project, and so because they're coming out at the beginning of the year, we tend to get good prices. So we continue shooting for letting our projects at the beginning of the year go very late of the year. Other projects that are going on that require, us being nothing making a note on would be State Trunk Highway 45, the project that's going on in Bristol. So far, the residents, because the road is closed, that's open to those who live within the work zone. And they pretty much adapted to the flow pattern, and so we've not been receiving all those complaints as we did when the project was started. So it's so far so good, and they're struggling with the rain as well, and so they're still shooting to keep the project on schedule, and we hope they do. Then the other project I would like to talk on would be State Trunk Highway 65. I talked to the construction team. They estimated that they were maybe 1 week behind schedule because of weather again. And so most of you who use that road, you notice that it's still a little bit crowded with the barrels. But anyway, the construction team were planning to switch traffic from today. I didn't have the opportunity to verify that, but I don't think it happened because of the rain last week. I don't think they completed what they scheduled for last week. So I don't think they switched the traffic onto the new pavement. They're planning to switch it onto the new pavement and start working on the old pavement. But that would happen sometime during the week. That's my guess. And basically, that's all I have for today.
Public. You gave us the map for the pavement season, and possibly a couple of people aren't aware of what we're going to be able to pave this year and how we do it. I can tell the committee that we work on a system that grades our roads, and every year naturally the lowest grade gets the attention, and that is how we do it. But Clement, if you could tell us how many miles we're going to do this year and what you've got set up.
Yeah, typically we typically shoot for 13 miles every year, but we sometimes our workforce sometimes they're very dedicated workers and they work hard, and if we can do more miles, they always up to do that, and they put in the time to do the extra miles. So typically in a year, we do a tentative selection. Why I say tentative is because until the very final stage, when we make the determination when the paving season starts, that's when we rule out of, okay, this road is going, that road is going. For example, I would tell you right now, we have things like AH. The chances that we're going to do AH is zero. Well, I wouldn't say zero, it's minimal. Minimum because of the construction of Highway 45. You cannot, because they're using AH as one of their main digital routes, so it'd be very, very tough to do construction of AH. So based on those kind of evaluation, that will make the determination which roads finally will make the list. But generally, these are the roads that are potential roads that we're going to be paved this year. If we happen to do all of the roads that are shown on this map, you're talking about 20 miles, 20 point plus some miles, which is almost practically impossible for a year for us to pay.
These are the ones that are in the program being looked at and potentially, but we'll be doing third. And last year, I believe, because the costs were down on pavement, we did another mile and a half or something.
Yes. And the prices this year is still around the same area as of last year, so it's pretty good.
Any questions for Clement? Supervisor Brady?
Just to kind of follow up on that, committee may know or may not know this. Kenosha County has developed a strategic application here in doing some types of paving projects, notably bridge decks, other municipalities, and counties will hire us to. Do we have anything this year for doing bridge decks or paving projects outside of Kenosha County under contract?
We typically have the towns, not the village, and not the city. So we help the towns. By statute, we can help the towns come and do paving for them. So yes, we typically do paving, especially for Wheatland. Okay, so the town of Wheatland. And as a matter of fact, I'll be contacting the chairman tomorrow. We have to schedule a time that I'll have to go down and look at the road so that I can get it into our schedule.
The other thing is County MB, in between Highway 50 and C, I noticed there's at least 3, 4, maybe 5 culverts that have been put in underneath.
Right.
Is that something we're doing or is the contractor doing? Who's doing that?
No, we're doing it.
Okay.
It's scheduled to be done.
Okay.
Yeah. So what they're doing right now is that they're going with this list and they're doing all the maintenance work as much as possible. Even if we don't get there, at least when we get there next year, then they don't have to do that. So the maintenance work will continue regularly. But MB is scheduled for paving this year, according to this list. Mm. And I'm shooting to do that too as well, because there are some other challenges very close to C, the intersection with C, where we have the flooding. And so we were trying to make sure we mitigate that issue as well, because it creates a lot of flooding in people's property.
Very timely to have them in at this point with all the rain we've had, so
yeah.
Fortunate that. That's my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Bostrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clement, in your County S and H intersection notes, you mentioned that they're all working on a plan to move the project forward. What kind of options were discussed, or were there any options that were discussed?
I was a little bit blurry to discuss it, but I'll discuss it now. One of the plans is, since we are having some challenges because the main challenge is at that intersection, and the county would also like to work and make sure that the airport, expand as much as they can. And so in the meeting, we all recognize the fact that the airport is beneficial to everybody. As much as the road to is really beneficial to everybody. And so the first option might be one of the things we are considering, might be, okay, let's, because we have not sat down together to really come up with a proper design plan for that intersection. So what we might do, we might try to cut off that intersection off the project, and then see if we can continue doing the work on the rest of the sections of County Trunk Highway S. The reason being that while we are working on the section that we're going to be doing the construction, we'll be working also with the city and FAA to come up with the design that works for the airport and works for the county. And so that by the time we get there with the construction, we'll have a good design plan that works for both everybody, and then we'll just continue with the project. So you could say that, yes, you're taking it off, but you're not really taking it off. You just, the reason we are doing that is because if we do not remove it right now, it affects the process, and the process is the environmental review. The environmental review will not be done until all parties, all stakeholders are in agreement. And being what it is right now, one of the major stakeholders being the airport, is not completely in agreement with the county as to what you're supposed to do at that intersection. So if that is the case, we can then take it out and then work on the other section, and then when we get there, then we'll continue with work. The other option can also be, we've had, we might be, we believe that, or based on communication with FAA, we also believe that if we work faster with them, we also have an option. They might end up giving us a land release, so that's also an option. And if that happens, then we'll continue the project as planned. Yeah. But those are things that we still have to work out. But
did they give you a timeline as to when decisions are going to be made? Is there another meeting that's going to be held between all the stakeholders? Or?
Not exactly. They didn't. They've always told us that if they need to expedite the review to give us the land release, they've given us things that we could do to do, which is basically doing the runway, RGZ analysis, runway analysis. They've given us some things that we could do. And if we do that, then we can get a good turnaround. And we are hoping for that. And if it works, then we'll have our land release. However, we don't want to just rely on the fact that we're going to get a land release. Because if they review it and they say that, well, there's no way they could do it, then we're still stuck. So we're following another option as well.
In a perfect world, when would we start this project?
In a perfect world, we're supposed to be starting early in 2019. But right now we're already like 6 months behind schedule because we cannot review the environmental documents.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Anything else for Clement? Thank you, Clement. Right. Mark, what's your comment?
Thank you, Sarah. First thing is updates within Petrified Springs Park. Our beer garden is moving forward. We're about 90% complete with construction. The vendors have a few things left before our grand opening. They have to paint the exterior, finish up on placing the countertops. Other than that, just small little things like a little outdoor ambient lighting, and they're in business. And obviously the beer trailer being the most important things to bring that into. So we're looking to have the vendor open Memorial Day weekend. We'll be when they're officially opening. So we'll be working with the vendor on a press release and informing all the county board when that grand opening will actually be. Pavilion 5, as I've been updating, We Energies energized Pavilion number 5 for our rental season. So lighting is already installed, and it should have been actually done this last Friday. So the lights and everything else is fully energized in Pavilion 5, so that project is now complete. North Barn demo, we're moving forward with that. In order to demo the North Barn, we had to energize that South Barn as part of that project in order to energize our well within that area. Now we have a contractor who's looking to switch over and energize the South Barn as well as the main shop with anything left as far as electric in there before we can actually demo that barn. We're trying to be creative and put that barn on Wisconsin surplus, so even if someone bid $1 and they would take it and they can repurpose all that barn wood, we're looking at doing that before actually creating more of a formal bid for a demo of that barn. So currently it's on there. Hopefully someone bids on it. Currently nothing right now. I know it's a lot to ask for someone, but at least we'll start with that before moving forward with the actual bid document. Fox River Park, overnight lodge. During these rainy days, our staff was able to install new flooring on our 3 bedrooms within that overnight lodge project. So we have some attached pictures on the progress of that overnight lodge. our Eagle Scout fundraised about $900 or so to create bunk beds within those three bedrooms. So he sent us a couple picture updates, and that project's probably going to be done within the next couple months for the bunk beds. So that one's moving along fairly well. Roof replacements. We had a bid that was sent out for the replacement of Silver Lake Park Beach Pavilion roof, as well as a Fox River shelter. If you're familiar with Fox River, that's the one that's closest to the ball diamond that you can see right off of County Highway F. Very small CCC project of a pavilion, but we threw that one in there as well. So we got the bids back, and Kasich, I think is how you pronounce it?
Kasich.
Sorry, I was close. Kasich was awarded that at $53,000. Attached, you can see the bid doc. The highest was $95,750. So we bid that two different ways. One was before our actual Memorial Day official opening of the beach. We wanted that project either done beforehand or after Labor Day when we stopped collecting fees at Silver Lake Park. And by doing so, I think we saved quite a bit of money by procrastinating that project a little bit. Nothing's detrimental to those roofs where they need to be immediately replaced and repaired. So by doing so, I think it was a good deal on the county. Another bid that's out currently is for the reforestation of Pets Park and Golf Course for 317 trees to be planted this fall. So that should be done by the 4th, and I'll be sharing that bid doc and tabulation next month. I don't know if anyone's seen the paper, but the North Bike Trail, or if you rode on the North Bike Trail or swam or kayaked or canoed, but it's been pretty wet as of lately, and we've been working with We Energies to try to find out what that root cause was, because what we don't want to do, being the county, is start to make some immediate repairs without understanding how that could affect our neighbors. This is We Energies' property as well, but we are responsible for the maintenance of it. So we've been working together with We Energies and found out that there was some work to be done as far as cleaning and ditching shoulders, and there's a few crushed culverts within that area. So We Energies, being a good partner, they sent engineers out, and they'll be working on actually repairing and fixing that. And hopefully we'll have no more flooding issues, because this is the first that's happened since 2008, when we actually had to put in for FEMA funds for flooding events within the county. So very abnormal to have that type of wetness within the bike trail to actually go over the bike path. It's always been a wet area, but never to this level. So we're optimistic that We Energies will help us solve that problem. As far as the park's anniversary celebration, great news that we were already able to raise $11,500 in organization and corporate sponsorship for our anniversary party at Pets on August 5th. So that's moving along. We're going to have events throughout each one of the pavilions within the park from noon till 8 p.m., family-friendly interactive activities, musicians, side acts throughout the whole entire park area. And then we have our main stage by pavilion number one that'll have three headliners, main acts. We still have to choose those, so if you know any good local bands, I'm more than happy to hear them and try to make those selections soon enough. And then in order for people to get to and fro each location, we're partnering with the Western Kenosha County Transit, so families can actually be picked up in a shuttle bus, a free shuttle bus, and go from pavilion to pavilion enjoying different activities throughout the day. Other than that, I have a list of different events happening this month. Attached, you'll see the Pringle Nature Center report, and that is all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Powell? $11 a year. Did I read that right?
Yeah.
Explain that, though.
Yeah.
That's for a full liter, though.
They're charging deposit on the glass.
$5 for a deposit, but not that's an addition. So,
oh, yeah.
So you get the five, but you still have to pay the 11. You're not getting the 11 back.
And somebody was worried about students being
right. There won't be any overserved folks.
One and done.
Student loans are right.
They might be taking loan payments.
Student loans are one thing. You guys have a big ATM out there.
Yeah.
On the dumping out there.
Yes.
Is that, I know it was in the paper again where somebody's dumped some more stuff.
Yeah.
Is that still peanut butter? You think it's going to get worse before it gets better?
I think it comes in phases, to be completely honest. And we're trying to bring more attention to this issue because it's a problem for the parks as well as everyone involved. Yeah. But it comes in phases with holiday decorations. Everyone disposes of that. The first couple of weeks where it's warm weather, you get a phase of dumping then. So anytime that it's almost when people can access outside when they've been cooped up for a long period that they feel the need to get rid and dispose of a lot of stuff, that's when they come to the parks, unfortunately. So talking to our field staff, it just seems like this is kind of a cycle, and we're just trying to limit that and really try to crack down whenever possible.
Was it all the same kind of peanut butter?
Yep.
Yes. It's like, yeah, you know what, there's food pantries that ask for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this must have been past expiration.
I'm not too sure.
Question?
Yes.
Reference the park's anniversary celebration. Do you have times for that?
Noon to 8 p.m., followed by fireworks.
Okay.
When it gets dark. And everything's on our park's website as well. We have flyers on there. So if anyone's interested in more information, we'll keep on updating that. But we have a flyer and everything else just to save the date for now.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for Matt? Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Golf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In golf operations, we're following our 2017 business plan. We're sending out the email blasts every week to keep top of the mind awareness for Kenosha County Golf and our events. excuse me, we had to cancel both our demo day and our spring scramble so far. We have rescheduled those. The spring scramble will be May 20th, and the demo days, the Callaway demo day will be Sunday, May 7th, and the Tour Edge will be Saturday, May 13th. It's a little disadvantage that we have to have them on two separate days, because when you have both vendors on one day, you know, usually people are more in the mood to buy because they've tested their own, they've tested, you know, each brand, and they find the best one and purchase that. But if there are separate days, you know, oh, I gotta go still wait and try this other one before, you know, so hopefully it doesn't hurt our sales too much by that. As far as our advertising, we're working with Lee Enterprises on that digital remarketing and marketing campaign. We did a 50,000 person email blast, and we had 11% open rate, which is very good for an email blast. And we're also getting quite a few people mentioning that they've seen our promotional video on YouTube. And if you guys have not seen that, I encourage you to go to our website, Kenosha County Golf, and the video is right there. It's about 2 minutes long, and it's really good. I really enjoy how it turned out. All of our leagues are supposed to start this week and last week, but with this weather, you know, we have some that are holding off, some that tried today but weren't able to go, and we did add 4 new leagues for this year, so that's great news. And really happy to say that, you know, we're going to have the Caddy and Leadership Academy of Southeast Wisconsin at Brightondale this year. This will be our third year. We're moving it from Petrifying Springs to Brightondale. We just feel that with the 5 different nines and really 3 dedicated places to start, we're going to be able to get the kids out a lot quicker, you know, with groups at Brightondale than we were able to at Petrifying Springs. And because of the success that we've had with Kenosha County Golf, the Caddy Academy is expanding to Brown Deer this year. So that's good news too, getting more youth involved. And the projects we are working on is we started up the fabulous Friday Night Fish Fry. It went well the last 2 weeks, a lot of great comments. All the renovation and the refreshing of the clubhouse, it just looks so elegant in there for a 1936 building. You know, it really has just such a nice feel with the new lighting you know, we only did about 25 last couple weeks, you know, because the advertising, we didn't want to go jump into it and make sure, because our staffing situation and food and beverage is still a little precarious, but you know, had a lot of really positive comments on it again. So definitely looking forward to that. If we can get the staffing situation under control, we're going to have it at Brightondale also, but probably just June, July, and August, and then the pets is as much of the season as we could possibly have it. So, and then we're fine-tuning the use of the flight scope. We finally have received their latest and greatest X3, and we got the iPad hooked up to it, but the range has not been open very much to really get any practical use on it. And we do have Mike Horn, who is from Michigan, that's going to be coming over and giving us additional tutelage on how to use it. So I'm really looking forward to that and putting that into use. And then the combination of the refresh of the golf shops and the clubhouses and the new merchandise really has a great feel for the clubhouses. It's really looking good. So many positive comments. Our merchandise sales already are up from last year, and I think it's just because of the experience of the clubhouses and the new stuff that we have brought in. So I'm really looking forward to a strong season if we can get this weather under control.
I will.
You'll be the first one I dial up, Dennis.
We ran into a whirlwind today.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I had my guys come in, and it just kept spinning and spinning and spinning.
It's a nice morning.
Well, part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, depends on when it hit. Yeah, it's been a chore. So I'm sure that you guys have had a challenge, especially on the weekends. It's horrendous. Thank you, Dan. Mike,
just a question for Dan. Swing analyzer, where is that located, or where is it going to be set up at?
It's going to be at Brightondale at the range.
Okay, so it needs a full range for it to actually function.
It functions best. You know, you can use it in a short distance mode, but it's best if it sees ball flight.
Thank you.
Anything else for Dan? Well, Mike, facilities.
Starting with the ongoing projects list, the one that's on that is the pretrial sealant replacement project. That one is finally starting to ramp up. On 4/11, we did a pull test of the sealant to see how it adhered. We checked the contractor's workmanship, so that passed with flying colors. Work was scheduled to start today, but the building was still wet from the weekend, so they wanted to dry out some more, and they're going to try and deploy tomorrow at least. And it's probably still going to be too wet to do work, but at least they'll get set up and ready to roll. So that's going to really be onward, finally. That's a three-week project, too, if the rain works out. Going to the next list for the focus on energy, you'll see that one more project was moved from the uncomplete to the complete list, and that was upgrading the truck garage at this building. Our electrician is doing all that work, and he's pretty swamped, but I'm able to coax at least one project out of him a month, so this is the second month in a row that he's really completed a major project, so that's really good with how busy he is, so he's doing well. I'm focusing next on the bottom one on the uncomplete list, which is finishing up the courthouse main hallways and the exterior posts, Christmas tree posts around the entrances and exits. That's probably about 75% done. He's got a couple hallway sconces to do, and then you'll be able to say that everything in the hallways and outside around the courthouse is all LED. So maybe he'll get that done this month, or maybe he won't. He's pretty tight, so we'll see. So I hope to report that next month. That's pretty much it.
Mike, maybe the elevator?
Well, you know, I was waiting for somebody to say that. My response is going to be that you just cursed it. Wow. So you only have yourself to blame. Actually, we have an inspection tomorrow or Wednesday when the contractor can get back to look at the filters and see what kind of debris has accumulated and see if there's any more further leakage of hydraulic oil. So far, so good. You know, my office is right next to the elevator, so I always hear the odd sounds, and I've heard none, so I'm hopeful.
I brought my attorney's car with me. If you needed it for the DA, you're okay so far.
So far, so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything for Frank?
Mr. Chairman, first project, fire alarm system replacement project. The work is substantially complete. We just have to tie in some door locks, security things to our fire alarm system, so it's a coordination and some hardware, some wiring things. A little bit of testing on that end remains. We had a complete test of our fire alarm system that went with flying colors. It worked beautifully. A 3-year-old kid loved our new red pull box and grabbed a hold of it and yanked it, and everything worked. It was very loud, and everybody evacuated, so we had a complete test. Having said that, now we're going to be putting in some plastic covers over those, perhaps even with a little battery backup buzzer, so as soon as somebody lifts up the plastic cover, it starts buzzing to try to keep these 3-year-olds away from it. But it does work. So, any questions? If not, go on to public safety building generator replacement. They've done all the pre-work that they possibly can for this project. It's very tricky because that generator backs up all of IT, all the servers, everything. Of course, you know, servers are running 24/7 for the Sheriff's Department and other functions here. So we've got UPSs that are the battery backup, and we've got a maximum of about 3 hours that they can be up for. So any of the switching over when we get in the new generator has to be done, and we're saying in less than 2 hours to give us some cushion. So it is a very challenging project. We're still looking at getting the generator approximately May 26th. We're still waiting for a final word from the manufacturer, Caterpillar, on that, and we're still looking at end of June completion. Next project, public safety building addition, second floor project with the fleet maintenance building. We've awarded most of the bids. We've done some value engineering. We were over budget by about $176,000 on $7.6 million. With the value engineering, we've been able to cut about $100,000 off of that, so we're down to about $76,000. We're still looking at some other value engineering pieces. We're working with the city to try to get all the permits and everything approved to start demo of the fleet maintenance building in late May. Next project, the courtroom branch 4 remodel. We had a pre-construction meeting in early April with Highlander Construction. Due to some scheduling with the courts and working with the contractor, we actually pushed back our start date. They had a court case that was going to be run a little long, so we thought it was best to start after they finished with that. So we've got the start date on June 12th, and we project everything to be complete by the end of July. Next project, Kenosha County Center roof replacement project. Staying on the theme with the weather, it's been a hard couple weeks here, but if we get a couple good days here, we should be able to finish her up. It's just literally the sheet metal around the perimeter. So, along with you, Dennis, we're hoping for some good weather.
Now we would know if it was working or not, right?
Oh, yeah. We haven't had a leak yet. So, knock on wood. They've done a really, really good job. They've been very efficient, we worked very hard with them as far as our laydown areas to minimize any impact on the public coming in when they're in the front of the building, and also the highway department when they're in the back. They're very customer oriented, they're very efficient, they want to get in, they want to get out, so they've been a good crew. And we got a great price too. So.
Any questions for Fred?
Along the courtroom remodels, we have one budget in for this year. We're talking about possibly doing a second one this year. How's that looking?
Well, we want to get through the project, and now that it came in under budget. The courts brought up that a lot of their chairs in that courtroom, in the jury room, were really not that great a shape. So we looked into ordering new chairs for all of them. We're kind of adding that up. And then there was a few odds and ends that came in. The sinks, we really didn't think, we thought it would be a lot tighter. And but now there's sinks back there. The faucets are 20 plus years old and they're leaking. And we're looking at getting new ones. And then the vanity and the sink and the faucet and the judge's chambers is pretty bad. So we're trying to add up all those costs, see what they come out to, see what we have left, and see if we have enough to do another one.
So it's undetermined at this point?
Undetermined.
The other thing that I'm sure everyone remembers last year, when we saved a substantial amount of money on the roof on the highway garage, that helped at least three projects that we were underfunded on. And when we're talking about the value engineering on a horribly important project, the second floor reconstruction, which includes our fleet maintenance building. Coming under budget on one sometimes is very important if we can't buy it through value engineering, you know, something for that fleet maintenance, or the whole second floor project. Because those things can but we've got this guy's number that is going to do this courtroom, so we know he'll be bidding again if things work out well. I think for Mr. Martinelli. Thank you, Frank. And Ray.
Brookside, is anybody that's driven past, or Supervisor O'Day was at the walkthrough for the Brookside trustees this afternoon. The building is truly in the final stages. In the last 3 weeks, it's amazing how much work has come together. Heck of a coordination between Kamozi, between the architects, between all the subcontractors involved, including the highway department for the paving that we're doing over there as well. But everything's pretty much coming together. We've got most of the city sign-offs, not all of them, but we expect them by this Thursday. And we need them by this Thursday because the state inspector comes down next Tuesday and he doesn't sign off on anything unless the local municipality signed off on everything. It's in really good shape, though. CBRF, both floors of the rehab building are actually, there's the construction level cleaning took place last week, and now there's actually staff in there doing resident-ready type cleaning. Living and dining room furniture is going to start to be delivered this Friday and then spill over into early next week. Final paving and striping, again, the weather has been a heck of a challenge, but we've got about half of it fully paved and some striped. On Saturday they did some work. That's part of the conditions we need to have complete in order to get occupancy. All the resident moving plans are in the final stages of fine-tuning, but at this point, you know, feel pretty good about our ability to move about 150 folks and all of their belongings in about just under 9 hours is what we got projected and how we've got everything mapped out on that day. And the Brookside staff has done a heck of a job in that. This is obviously very disruptive, especially to folks that are, you know, in later stages of life. It can be very disruptive. And what they've taken is, instead of just making this a moving day, they've actually created a cruise ship approach to this. So literally, there are groups of 12, I think is the number that we came up with. And 12 folks, as they go into what's the Southport and dining room, the large room in Brookside, it's like they're going to be going on a cruise ship. They get a passport, there's a cruise buffet is established. They go in there, and while they're in there for about 20 minutes, all of their stuff is moved from their existing room into their new room. And then about the time they're done having some munchies and whatever else, they are then go down the runway plank and they are now moving into going on their cruise. So they took what was a, you know, could have been a real traumatic kind of thing, and they're trying to make it fun. So just the Brookside staff has just been phenomenal. So everything is planned. We've got a few more things that got to fall into place, but at this point, May 17th is the actual move day when all that takes place. Everything looks like it's on track for that to happen. And within a week of everybody being moved over, we will start the construction activities on the existing building for the renovation of that. So it's not going to be any rest in between, really.
Ray, how did we work out on the paving with the striping thing? Are they going to allow that?
Yeah. We actually, the county exec met with the mayor on Friday, and even if we can't get things taken care of, they'll still give us occupancy because they know that we're going to be able to take care of it. So we've got that as plan B, even though it appears if the weather does do what it's supposed to the rest of this week, we should be able to get it knocked out. But, you know, the weather projections are good for about 2, maybe 4 hours right now is about all they can project out accurately.
It's nice that they could work with us on that.
Yeah.
Well, they have said that they wouldn't give us an 18 grand to strike.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to
stripe the binder.
The binder. And then stripe again, maybe a day later on the other. So
yeah, so
that's
he,
nice of him.
He got it all worked out. So that was a good thing. So that's pretty much where Brookside's at. It's in the final stages of everything. Department report, the KCDC Sheriff's Department Storage Building. We're working with the city to address kind of at the last minute. We needed to do a wetland delineation that we were unaware of. We're working on that. I think the person is scheduled. We were actually able to line somebody up. They're coming in, I think, this Friday, actually, to do that. And once we have that in place, we should be in a position to get the permits we need in order to start the project. Bids came in on the 18th last week or the week before. We had budgeted 1.7 for that. We had bids ranging from 1.7 down to 1.16. The low bidder at 1.16 is KPH out of Milwaukee. We have not worked with them. We met with them last week to do a pre-award investigation, in addition to some other stuff that purchasing's doing. And everything's checking out on these folks, and it appears we're going to make the bid award this week. And so that's a good one, too, in that it came in under budget. Let's see, that's pretty much. So if we get the permits, we would start construction on that probably in early June, early to mid-June. So we'd get that going right away. That's pretty much that project. Let's see. We had, plus the other good things, we had 7 total bids on that project. There was one that was just a flyer that the subcontractor didn't understand how to process work, and he was actually a dooring supplier, so he bid $48,000 for the project, so he was disqualified. But there were 7 legitimate bids. Again, going to the smaller projects, getting a lot of bids, we're definitely seeing data to support that kind of a theory. Received a number of interesting civil engineer resumes the second time around. Clement's working with personnel to get interviews scheduled for next week for that. Those are the bigger things. And then June, just that we typically have our June committee meeting is at Pringle Nature Center. We plan on doing that again, just to get a heads up to everybody. That's what we do.
I forgot about that. Pringle next month. You're out there.
So that's pretty much it from my end.
So Ray, who does the... It's very nice to see that we did get a bid at the 1.7 for that. It's very nice to see that we got the one for 1.16. Who does the estimation on that?
We had the architect in this case, CUNY Architects. So, again, you know, he's actually he's been to the low side in years past.
Yeah.
We've had project John Wallenkamp, good architect, but he tends to be a little more optimistic, but he based this bid estimate on two other projects he was involved in Rock County and Jefferson County, I think is where they did similar buildings. So he felt pretty good. And there was one, the 1.73 came from another Milwaukee firm, legit Milwaukee firm. But there, the sweet spot on this, there was four bids that were in the 1.2 to 1.3 million range.
That's nice to see.
So it was very competitive.
That's nice to see if you're the guy that won a bid, too. Yeah.
Yep.
Then we can't be terrified. It's very good for us and for the taxpayer.
Going back to Brookside, in the tour today, Brookside set up a room with two beds, all the furniture's in there for two people, so that the families have been coming in there and seeing that too. So I thought that was really a smart idea on their part to do that. And the other thing I noticed, or we talked about, was the exit lights. We'll just touch on that.
Yeah. So you will see when you go through the building, I believe, based on the research we did, that Kenosha is the only community in the 72 counties that requires low exit lights in addition to the high exit lights. Some of the folks know them. And it was another $35,000 to the project that wasn't, there was a miscommunication internally at the city, so that information never got to us during the design phase, much to the fire chief's chagrin. So we didn't have any knowledge of it. So the things were built, and he goes, well, where are the low exit lights? What are you talking about? Well, the ones I approved. We didn't know anything about it, because internally it had never gotten to us. So that's why it was such a big adder. Probably if we would have done it as part of the original design, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. But it was a $35,000 adder, and so it was an expensive, and everybody comments. Everybody that goes to the building comments on, like, why is that? Because we're the only community that does that. There is no other community that I'm aware of.
Is it just a nursing home?
No. It's Uline has it. It. Pretty much, I think, every new building going forward is
going
to
have it. Daycare centers, right? I would assume.
I think it's beyond, Uline, manufacturer, distributor, a logistics company. So I don't know the exact limitations of when and when not it's not needed. But
we all know smoke rises, so yeah. You're supposed to get on the ground and crawl.
Right. Right.
So if you can see a light on the ground, until you get overcome with the smoke, you can at least crawl out.
He explained the motivation was a tragedy that happened down in Texas, I think, where there was in a school, because the smaller kids got and they ended up crawling into a closet is what happened and they perished. And so it was a tragic thing. Yeah. So the lights, there's a lot of stuff in the building that's fairly unique. There's a lot of stuff that was done with kind of lean manufacturing concepts in mind, so that the pass-through stuff, so staff doesn't have to walk, you save about 20 steps of having to go in each room and restock all the linens and stuff in the bathrooms, because there's a pass-through from the hallway, so you literally just go down the hallway and boom, 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 you can, without, so there's the windows, the blinds, internal blinds that are built into the windows, but they're not like the ones that they first came out with 10 years ago, where they put them inside the sealed thermal pane, so then when they broke, you were screwed. Did I say that in a public meeting? I did, yeah. So they now are...
I've said worse.
They're better engineered. So what we figured out, the payback on that was, I believe it's like a year, under 2 years, the payback, because they'd have to clean the blinds once a week at Brookside,
right.
Every room. And that's gone now. So there was stuff like that that was put in. The carpeting, which has made some folks nervous on the staff, but the carpeting that's in the rooms, the resident rooms, about probably less than a quarter inch thick, and there's honestly about 23 layers that go into that between antimicrobial this and you can't penetrate this stuff. I mean, it's really incredible technology that's gone into the carpet.
What made them nervous, the staff?
Because carpeting in a nursing home, historically,
right.
That was something you'd never do. But the architect said right now it's just shy of 70% of the homes going up now.
We're probably afraid of falling, too.
There's some of that, and that's why it's so low. It's so thin, so it doesn't have much of a nap. But the acoustic, we did one room.
Acoustics are wonderful.
That you guys went in this afternoon. There's one room that has resilient flooring in it, and if you walk in that room and just the acoustic versus you walk into the other room, it's incredible. And the whole concept is it's like residential, it's not institutional. So it's really a very well engineered.
Well, it was designed that way to be more like a hotel.
Yep.
Look, and look how things have changed. When you haven't done it in 25 years, look what Mike shows us every report, what we are saving on energy, right. You know, compared to when we built 25 years ago. It's huge. Things have gotten a lot better.
All the technology is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
On stuff that you don't even think about, but it's, like I say, the carpeting, you know. But literally, I went through it, and there's like 23 separate layers in that kind of carpeting. And it's incredible. So
in 10 or 15 years, when we're residents there, it'll seem just like home to us.
Well,
maybe let's go 5 20, for some
let's
of us.
Let's go 20.
Some of us won't be able to get in. Won't be able to get in because we've irritated people.
No, that would never happen.
But you can get down on your hands and knees out of your wheelchair and crawl and see those exit signs.
There you go.
There you go. On your journey it out. Anything for rain?
I would offer, if the committee does want to see the facility before it opens, you know, we could schedule a tour, because once residents are in there, it's going to be, and we're not going to have any kind of grand opening thing now, because really till we get the other building completely renovated, we're not going to.
I was going to mention that before we left. Ray mentioned that to me the other day. Would the committee like to have a, we did it last year, when we're getting started, so would you like to have a walkthrough?
Yes, I agree.
Because if Monday nights are good, I would say we can probably schedule for next Monday night if there's no other committee meetings.
How does everybody feel about that?
Well, I'm in QF, so.
You're
in QF? I'll be in QF.
So don't
hold off on my account.
Well, maybe you schedule it, and then whoever can make it, makes it. I mean, you just try. At least you're trying. Mm-hmm.
I think on the 5th and 6th, the 6th and 7th this weekend, is the family walkthroughs, the family and residents?
Yeah, it could be.
So there might be somewhere so you can just, if you can't make the Key West, I'm sorry you have to go. Someone's got to suffer and do that.
I'll take that bullet for you.
Yeah. That might be an option if you just wanted to. To cruise through and see what it looks like.
I mean, do we want to as a committee?
What time would be the meeting time?
We could do it at 4 o'clock if that would work for most folks. 4:30. It'll only take probably a half hour, 45 minutes to go.
Right. 4 o'clock?
For me, it doesn't work. Okay. But my grandmother's in there. I can't say enough good about Brookside, how fantastic they have. They run things there. I'm probably going to go to the family day then.
Yeah, what's the family day?
I think it's this weekend.
I was there today, and I think she mentioned that to me, that it is sometime this later this week.
Well, maybe, Ray, if anybody wants to go, they can just go on the weekend.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's fine, too. Yeah. Looks like I just wanted to make it available before it gets fully.
I think Fran would take you through.
Yeah, Fran would even, if you just give her a call. Yeah. She'd take it. And we did put together one of Matt's interns, the videographer, put together a virtual tour, which actually I could email out. It's actually pretty slick, and Fran is using that now to at least, again, you want to try to get as much information to folks so they get as comfortable with things before you actually make the move.
So yeah, why don't you either email that to them?
I'll email that out. Yeah, she just finished it up.
Anything else from anyone? Jim?
This Saturday is the annual waste, household hazardous waste and electronic waste pickup.
Here.
Enter over on Highway 50 for everyone who's not in Key West.
Which I'm flying out on that day.
So we'll be picking up all the hazardous waste and any computers and TVs and stuff like that you got. So if you see anybody, tell them to.
Well, there's been notices everywhere. Yeah. Anything else from anyone? Yes, sir.
I'm Jim Zonlack from the Kenosha Sport Fishermen's Club. Matt Collins invited me in to talk about the Piper cleanup that you guys support every September. I'd like to know if I could take a few minutes.
Sure.
Okay, great. I don't know if you guys knew about it, but every September, the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association is done over at Petrifying Springs, and it all started because of a kayaker saw debris and everything. Our club has been around since the mid-70s. We rear 40,000 Chinook King salmons every spring, which was 40,000 delivered today. We're at 2.5 million fingerlings that go into the Pike River, and we do an imprinting process, which means we suck in Pike River water into the well water at the Pike River, 7th and Sheridan. If you want to see something spectacular, go down to 7th and Sheridan and see 40,000 King salmon that come into that Pike River. The problem with the Pike River is that we've pulled out 125 tires year to date, as in 3 years or less, in your Pike River. The problem we have here is the Kenosha Jim Cruiser gives us a pavilion. Your crew picks up our tires, our trash, and we walk every spring. I've walked out with 20-yard dumpsters. We call it gas station trash. Chew cans, trash, but it's not all fishermen, it's not all kayakers, it's hikers, it's everybody. The problem we have here is that we've been very successful of all the tires. As you can see, we're pulling out tractor tires, canoes. If you want to pass this around when we're talking, that's just fine. So what we do, we set up at the Shelter A and over at Petrifying Springs Park. I go out, the Kenosha Sport Fishermen, we sponsor the event. I go out for donations, we buy hot dogs and brats. We get reacher sticks and gloves and everything for people to show up. Anywhere from my son's age, Jacob, from Carverside Community, anybody from any type of school auditorium, I don't care who wants to show up. But what the reasoning for this is, show them that those fish that come up that pike is that it creates dollars. $2.1 million is created through our fisheries in Kenosha because of what Kenosha does for fisheries. And people don't understand that those fly fishermen that come in that nice place over there, an average person spends $200 for a guided tour on your Pike River. The problem we have here is that the Pike River is being used as your dumping ground. I've talked to more people and constituents, but for some reason, they think they don't know how to dispose of a tire. I don't know how to get the city and the county to talk, how we can have a station where anybody can drop a tire off. I know the city has a location where you can drop to it, but the county-wise, I just don't know. I'm just bringing it to your attention that if there's a way to communicate to the public that, hey, you've got a disposable unit, just like today, this weekend, you're going at this disposable stuff, I'm so happy that you guys do that because we've picked up enough of that trash in our thing. So today, I'm just letting you know who we are. We're the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. We have our monthly meetings at the Moose Lodge. We do a kids' fishing event, which is Mother's Day weekend at Tremper. I don't know if you know that. The DNR stocks trout in there. So any child that is from 4 to 12, we get a free fishing rod and reel. You go through our fishing training 101, how to identify fish, how to clean a fish, water safety. We show you through a casting clinic. And then we send you off into the pond and we give you corn and worms or whatever, and hopefully you'll catch a trout, and the longest trout gets a little trophy, and then we serve you a hot dog lunch. So that's what our little fishery does. So I just want to say thank you to Jim Cruiser and what your county workers have done. It's been a great support. I hope you guys took away from my little presentation about what happens on your Pike River. It is beautiful what you're doing at Petrifying Springs, and everybody likes the pristine look, but I tell people, if you really want to get into your rivers, go down and come to a cleanup, and you'll actually see what's really we're pulling. So, yeah.
When is your next cleanup?
September, it will be. I'll let Matt Collins know. Matt's been a really good friend of ours, a constituent. Case in point, a big willow tree dumped down across the parking lot from Carthage to this person's property. It's impeding the flow, and we're trying to get some type of agreement between Carthage and liability and everything else to help you guys so we could pull that log across onto their parking lot, saw it up, and just move it out. Because what happens at the pike, and here's, it's just a natural thing, what happens here is that when the banks are eroded, they cut underneath the roots of the trees. The trees fall in, they stack up, they pile up, creates a log jam. It diverts the water to go around, or it engaves more gouging. So the river just is keep on gouging these trees, and they're falling into the river. So we actually have a crew of people that come down with chainsaws and all this, and we, according to the DNR laws, that you cannot cut anything that's rooted, but we can remove the log jam so the salmon can come up there to their grounds. The salmon need to be on a soil, not a loose soil, but they need to be on rock bottom. The eggs stick to the rock bottom. So
the less they get up that river to the spawning ground, they're not going to spawn. They're just going to die off and go. And so we're hoping with the new imprinting program at our riverine pond that's happening, what has happened is when we put river water into a well, the printing is called fletching of scales. What happens is when they lose a scale, that imprint happens immediately. For some reason, that grain sinks in with the water. And think about it, for 4 years they're out in Lake Michigan swimming around, but something in the fall after the third or fourth tells them to go find the Pike River water. So how they end up at the Pike River is just astounding, but that's how they imprint their bodies, is by the water they're imprinted to when they start losing their scales. And they're about as long as your finger. So thank you again for what you guys do. Thank you for your time. Sorry I showed up unexpectedly, but I appreciate what you guys have done for us. I'll let Matt Collins know what it goes on, but if you want to see what comes out of the rivers and lake, if anything that comes out of this meeting, it's tires. We are pulling a lot of tires in Kenosha County and through the city too, but I don't know how to get the community to understand where to dispose of a tire in Kenosha County. But it's not all Kenosha County. You guys are taking my tires from the city too. I mean, you guys have really been a partner. So if you want to have a meeting with Jim Cruiser, the group, so... Other than that, that's about it. So if there's any other questions or concerns right now, nope. All right, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Right. Okay, Jacob, we can go.
I worked with him. Still alive, huh? I thought I saw his picture.
Even though the city accepts free tires from the residents, it's not free to the city.
Right.
The city pays about $15,000 a truckload for another company to take it for recycling.
Right.
So if there's something the county wants to do,
we have to pay countywide. We save them up also.
Yeah, the guys pick them up all the time on the road. We've got one dumpster back here that, from what they pick up along the roads.
Another issue, Steve, is they only take certain types of tires. They won't take semi tires.
They won't. Yeah, they won't. They'll only take a regular vehicle.
Yeah, tires.
They're too big.
It's amazing how they stand.
If there's nothing else,
motion to
second. Second by Supervisor Wamble. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, guys.